This is an ABC podcast.
Hello there, it's Ruby here, and you are listening to Newstime.
Hey, Ruby.
Hi, Ruby.
Every week we count down five awesome stories from far and wide. And today, we'll meet the country kids who won a two-year battle to recycle at school. We're going to put on our binoculars for the Aussie backyard bird count, feel some music with the Deaf Indigenous dance group, celebrate some of Australia's superstar scientists, and we'll dig up an ancient dunny. What do you reckon? Ready to start the countdown?
Don't forget to do the Newstime quiz.
That's right. Listen carefully so you can do the quiz at the end. You'll find the questions and the answers in the show notes.
Let's start the show.
Story number five.
Okay, apple core. That goes in the compost bin. And that paper needs to be separate from that plastic. Oh, what do you recycle at your place?
I recycle cardboard, plastic, and paper.
Good one.
Recycling is important because when you recycle, it will help the environment.
That's right. The Kangaroo Inn Area School in South Australia does a lot to help the environment. They have their own fish farm that's powered by the sun, and they use their waste as fertiliser for their very own veggie garden. So this school was surprised to discover that their local council, the people who help run the town, didn't collect the school's paper and cardboard for recycling.
That's strange.
These kids, they found out that their school wasn't on the recycling route of the local garbage truck. So, they wrote a letter to the council asking them to change things so their paper and cardboard didn't end up in landfill.
I would like to say thank you to them.
But it wasn't that simple. The council said collecting the school's recyclables was too hard because the school was in a rural area, so it would cost too much money to pick it up. But the kids and their teachers did not give up. They spent two whole years going to council meetings to try to change their minds, and their hard work paid off. The council has given the school a skip. That's like a really big metal bin for all their recycling. Then, when the skip gets full, it's picked up.
It goes into a factory, gets mashed up, and it also gets reused.
You are an expert.
Story number four.
Notepad, check. Pen, check. Binoculars, check. What else do I need for the Aussie backyard bird count?
Patience. Lots and lots of patience.
Good tip. The Aussie backyard bird count is part of National Bird Week. People around the country have been heading into their backyards and favourite outdoor spaces on a giant bird-watching mission. You can join in too. All you need to do is pick a place and keep your eyes peeled. You can get a grown-up to set a timer for 20 minutes and then sit back and take notice of all the birds you see.
Kookaburra. Eggpine. And that, I think, is a cockatoo.
Excellent bird sounds. It's a good idea to stay pretty quiet, though, while you're bird watching. Using your ears will help you spot birds hiding up in high trees. What do you think you might see from your place?
Eagles, pipit and geese, and magpies.
Very cool. If you want to take part, you can get your grown-up to help you record the birds you see on the Aussie Bird Count app or on the website. The Bird Count helps you get to know the birds in your neighbourhood. Plus, all the information helps scientists understand more about Aussie birds, like how they're doing and where they're flocking to.
Story number five.
Story number 3.
Funky. This is the kind of music I could have a boogie to. Did you know there's a group of dancers in Australia that don't actually hear music?
They feel the music.
Yes, they do. They feel the music. The Deaf Indigenous Dance Group is for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander dancers who are deaf or hard of hearing. One of the ways the dancers feel the music is by practicing on a wooden stage. It helps them feel the beat of the drums underneath their feet. They can respond to the vibrations in the ground in a similar way to how hearing people might respond to music with their ears and dance to the rhythm.
Maybe they turn the music up so loud that you can feel it in the floor.
The dancers also use their eyes to watch each other and follow the moves and keep in time. This group says dancing connects them to their culture and to each other. At the end of the performance, the dancers finish on the same beat together and put a spear in the ground to mark the end of the show. They can't hear the applause, but they can see the crowd clapping and cheering, and it makes them feel proud.
Story number 2.
Have you ever heard of the Eureka Prize?
Eureka is a place where they found lots of gold. So Eureka means I've struck gold.
The Eureka Prize is actually for Australian scientists, and they probably do feel like they've struck gold when they win.
Science is important to figure out the world, how the world works, how to protect it.
It can make the world a better place.
That's right. Dr. Dana Bergstrom is certainly trying to make the world a better place. She won the Eureka Prize for science leadership. Dana is the boss of a project called Aliens in Antarctica, which was set up to protect Antarctica from pesky weeds that attach themselves to people's clothes and shoes and get spread around. If weeds grow in Antarctica, they could damage the environment and hurt the animals that live there. And Dr. Dana is trying to stop that from happening.
I love about science how I always just figure out new things that I didn't know, and I'm like, whoa, I did not know that. Then it comes with a good feeling of telling someone something they didn't know.
There was also a category for kids. Two friends, both of them named Scarlett, they won the Sleek Geeks Primary School Prize for a video they made about super volcanoes.
A very active volcano that goes boom, like that.
But the Scarletts also say the volcanoes could be cooled down with water that could then be turned into steam to provide planet-friendly power to the world.
That's very, very cool.
There was also a prize for promoting understanding science. That went to Dr. Niraj Lal. You might know him from another ABC Kids Listen podcast called Imagine This. He says he wants to spark curiosity and help give kids the tools to figure things out for themselves so they can make better decisions than generations before them.
Story number 1.
When you go to the toilet, do you ever wonder how it works?
It's pretty good at flushing. You just press a button and then it flushes.
Then when you flush, it goes down into the sewer and the sewer filters it. That means cleans the water and puts it back into the ocean.
Yep, but a long time ago, toilets didn't flush. Archaeologists, they're the people who study objects that are dug up from the past. They have just unearthed an ancient toilet in the country Israel. This toilet is more than 2,700 years old, and it definitely did not flush. But experts say it was actually quite an advanced toilet, not too different to the dunnies of today.
I think it looked gold with red spots.
I think the toilet looks like a bucket.
This toilet was made from carved rock that stood over a deep tank. Around the toilet, there were lots of bowls that were probably filled with sweet-smelling oils and incense, kind of like old-fashioned air fresheners to disguise those strong, pongy smells. Most people who lived more than 2,000 years ago would have done their business in a simple hole in the ground. Back then, that part of the world was also ruled by kings, so archaeologists think this luxurious toilet was once inside a royal mansion. I wonder who it belonged to.
King and the queen and a princess?
You might be right. Maybe that's why some people call toilets thrones. And that's it for News Time today, my friends.
That was awesome.
I'm off to find five more fantastic news stories.
Bye, Ruby.
Bye, Ruby.
See you next week. Bye. News Time is an ABC Kids Listen podcast. For other awesome podcasts to play, music to move to, and stories and soundtracks for sleep, download the ABC Kids Listen app. It's free from your app store.